Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day, and looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening, everyone. I'm feeling a little bit scatterbrained this evening, so I hope that my homily will make sense to you. Doesn't mean that it won't be any good. So I wanted to start by the first reading. We hear about how Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord, and I didn't know whether y'all mothers knew that you could do that, like you could take your children and dedicate them to God for God's purposes. And this used to be the custom in Jewish families for their first born son especially. But I had the experience where I never knew that my mom had kind of dedicated me to the Lord. Maybe not so willingly, but the way that it happened was we were in the military. My father was career Army, and he was in the Army for 28 years. But when I was born, the Army had just come through the housing where the families lived, and they had just repainted all the whole house. And it was back then, 1972. You can figure out how old I am. They used lead paint, and this was in Germany. And so I was born, and the paint was still wet. And shortly after I was born and brought home, my lungs collapsed. And they rushed me to the hospital, and just an infant. And they tried everything. I have a stack of x-rays about that thick. And the doctor eventually ordered no more x-rays unless it's absolutely necessary. And they had me in one of these glass boxes, you ever see that, with the rubber gloves. So my mom would come and to touch me, they put their hands into these rubber gloves, into the glass box. And they thought that I was gonna die. They didn't know what was wrong with my lungs. And my mom said she went home and lit my baptism candle. And she said, "God, you only just gave him to me. Won't you let me keep him for a little while? You could have him later." Boom. She dedicated me to God. "You could have him later." She forgot she made this promise. So shortly after that, the doctor kind of threw his hands up in the air and said, "We need to ship him back to Walter Reed, and maybe they can do something for him there." So they packed me into an airplane, flew me out. And as soon as I got back to the United States, immediately everything got better. So my mom forgot this prayer until the day of my ordination. As they had clothed me in the chasuble and the stole, I looked over, my mother's was just sobbing, and I thought, oh, she must be so happy. And later on, I asked her why she was crying like that, and she said, "I forgot a promise that I had made with God a long time ago, and he just called me in on it." So anyways, mothers out there, if you have children, don't forget that this is something scriptural that you can do with your families. You can dedicate your children to the Lord. I've heard this from a number of priest friends of mine who have talked in different ways about how their parents had dedicated them to the Lord. The other day I was listening to Archbishop Fulton Sheen's Christmas homily. If you didn't know, you can find them on YouTube. His mother actually placed him on the altar in front of the Blessed Mother. They had an altar at his church dedicated to the Blessed Mother. She actually laid him on the altar and said, he's all yours, Lord. So she actually dedicated him to the Lord as well. I want to talk about the family because I think the church gives us this Feast of the Holy Family because we forget sometimes how important it is to seek out holiness in the context of our families. I remember reading about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and she was always searching for what her vocation in life was going to look like. She knew that she wanted to be a Carmelite nun, but she had grandiose ideas of how she was going to serve God. She thought of going to China and preaching the word there so much so that they would kill her for it, and she'd become a martyr. So she had these ideas that she was going to be a martyr for the faith and do all these great things, and she kept wondering what it was that she was supposed to do as a Carmelite nun. Now, before I tell you her answer, I want to go back and just explain to you my relationship with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. It started, I didn't know much about her. To be honest, I think I lived a sheltered life in the military on the base. But anyways, I was in the seminary, and Father Carlos Gomez, who is a friend of mine, he's a pastor over at St. Augustine Parish, was teaching me how to tie a rosary, the rope kind. And while in his room learning how to tie the rosaries, I noticed a little picture he had on his stand. It was a black and white picture of a young girl, and she was very white, and he's very Hispanic. So I thought I would say something funny, and I would say, "Who is that? Is that your sister?" And he said, "Of course not, but yes, in a way it is." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That's Saint Thérèse of Lisieux." And I felt bad immediately that I was making fun with a saint. And then I thought to myself, saints had pictures taken of them? I thought they were like so old that they didn't have, you know, cameras back then. He's like, no, she only recently died in the early 1900s. They had black and white cameras. And so anyways, I was fascinated with this picture of this young girl. I think it was taken on the occasion of her first Holy Communion. And I kept thinking about this image of this young girl, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And that night, the image was still in my head. In the morning, I got up and I asked Father Carlos, he was a seminarian at the time. I said, "Carlos, you know that little picture, that black and white? Can you take it out of the frame and photocopy it for me? I just want a photocopy of it." And he looked at me with big eyes and he says, "You will have sooner than you think." And I was, whoa, that was a weird answer. And like 2 minutes later, I hear something sliding under my door, and it was actually the photo, like the original photo. So I picked it up, went over, and knocked on his door. I said, "I didn't want you to give me your picture. I just wanted a photocopy of it." He says, no. "When I was in Lisieux, I bought two of them because the Lord told me you have to buy two, and you'll know who to give it to when the time comes. And when you asked me last night for a photocopy of it, that was the sign." And so that was how my relationship with St. Thérèse of Lisieux got started. But pay attention to those promptings that God might put on your heart. It may be something kind of crazy and outlandish, like what am I supposed to do with two pictures? But if God puts that on your heart, and then you never know how it's going to come about where God will make use of that. But the more we become attuned to how God is speaking to your heart, the more little miracle things like that can happen in your life. So anyways, as I was reading about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she finally understood what her vocation was all about. And she said, "I am called to do, to love in, you know, great love in little things." So she was called to great love in little things. And so she sought to do even the littlest thing in her life with the greatest amount of love that she could, whether it was sweeping the floor, whether it was doing the dishes, or whether it was the laundry, whatever she did it with great, great love. And so she said that was her vocation, her calling in life was to love. And so that, I think, is an experience of everyday family life. You know, how many wives have spent hours doing the laundry and folding and ironing and washing the dishes and feeling like nobody notices all the work and the things that I'm putting into daily life? But this is exactly the place where great love can happen. And so many of us owe a debt of gratitude to our parents for those things that they endure day in and day out for the good of the family. And so some of you, maybe when you were younger, you thought about becoming Batman or Spider-Man or Superman, and then you got married and you thought, oh, all those grandiose ideas, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Be a great mother. Be a great father. It's in those little acts of love that you do that you really create a beautiful home, and you do something so wonderful. And that's where you are working out your salvation. The salvation of your family is starting there at home. One of the things I think that happens a lot in family is we get burned or we get hurt because it happens that those who love us the most are the ones that end up being the most painful when we have disagreements or fights. And so a couple words of advice that I would give in the family is, one, be the first to apologize. Even if it's not your fault, be the first to apologize. And if you don't think that you can apologize, then at least say this: I'm sorry that we had a fight. Yeah, I love you, and I wish we hadn't had that fight. You're not saying who's right or wrong. You're just saying, I'm sorry that we had a fight. I love you. And so it's important, I think, to be the first to apologize or to seek out that healing and that forgiveness. And there are so many ways that we are called upon in the family to grow in holiness. In the second reading, we heard about St. Paul. He said, put it on forgiveness, kindness, patience. He said, put it on. So when we use the word like I fall in love, hey, that just happens, right? I just happen to fall in love with a certain person. But when St. Paul says put it on, he means you can control this. This is a choice that you're making to do it, to put on patience, to put on forgiveness, to put on love. And so this is something that we are called to do. And so put it on, you have to ask for it. You know, whatever it is, Lord, give me the spirit of patience. Whatever she says, whatever he says, don't let me lose my cool. Help me to be willing to suffer for the good of my family. And so love is a choice that we actually put it on rather than something we stumble into. Sometimes somebody says something to you and you explode without even thinking about it, right? So don't just let those things happen. It's something that you have to actually put it on. Somebody might say to me, well, Father, I'm just an angry person. I've always been an angry person, and you should just accept me for who I am. I say, you are not an angry person, because God didn't create angry people. He created people in his own image and likeness, and God is love. And so if you want to know what you're really like, look at Jesus. That's what you look like without sin. And so we are created in the image and likeness of God, not anger. And so if you feel angry all the time, it's because you've put that on and you need to take it off. And so you take it off simply in the name of Jesus. I cast you out, spirit of anger, and I invite the spirit of forgiveness or spirit of patience. You'll be surprised how big a difference something like that can have in your life and in your family life. And so today the church lifts up to us the Holy Family. You might not feel like your family is a very holy place right now, but it starts with you. As you allow God's love to work in you first, then you can share that love with your family, and you'll find that God's love can transform the way you think and feel about yourself, the way that we think and feel about others. And so I want to encourage you to not see your family wherever it might be stuck in, but to see your family also as a holy family, a breeding ground where you are called to work out your salvation and work out your holiness, practicing those virtues that St. Paul speaks to us today. Amen.